So the scripture reading this morning is from Luke 24, verses 36 to 48. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Yet for all their joy, they were still disbelieving and wondering, and he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. And then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Here ends the reading.
Thank you, Jeanette. The scripture that Jeanette just read for us is from Luke chapter 24. She read about 12 verses of chapter 24. Chapter 24 of the Gospel of Luke is when Luke shares with the world the resurrection appearances that happened between the disciples and Jesus. The whole chapter is filled with that. And so this morning I want to look at not just the one that Jeanette just read for us, but the ones that precede and the ones that follow just a little bit as well. And what's interesting is that when you read these stories, and if you go to a wonderful resource called BibleGateway.com, and you can see the Bible in a multitude of different interpretations and translations, including in the Greek. And then you can look at the Greek words, click on them, and then you see what the Greek actually means. And what's interesting is there are words that appear in this whole chapter that you might not expect when you are hearing a story about the great resurrection experiences. So, if you could, Rebecca, if you could put up for me just on the screen for a little bit. Let me just show you some of those Greek words. So, aporeo. From the start of Luke chapter 24, you hear aporeo, that the disciples are utterly perplexed. And phobos, they are afraid. Apisteo, they are experiencing these events in disbelief. They can't believe what is going on. Eventually, we get to chara, kara, joy, and even you get to kardiakai, where their hearts are burning. But most of the chapter is dealing with these things, aporeo and phobos, apisteo, which is kind of strange. I mean, this is the event, right? And they're disbelieving, they're perplexed, and they're afraid. So I had in my mind, and you'll just have to forgive the weird workings of my mind, is that what would it be like if Luke, the author of the Gospel of Luke, who's probably not Luke, because this is written 60 years after Jesus has been crucified and has risen, the Gospel of Luke. So it's probably not Luke the physician, so I call this person Lucas, calls together the best PR firm in all of Palestine of 2,000 years ago and says, "Can you help me tell the story? Because the church has been growing, but I want the story to really help us grow the church in big and huge ways, and it helps to have a good PR firm helping us with that story." So you're going to now see my weird mind thinking about what is that like when a PR firm talks with Lucas about this story. And you need to understand the setting. It's about the year 90. So we're 2-3 generations after Jesus has been crucified, after he has risen. None of the original disciples are probably still alive. The story has had some oral history before it is being written down. And it is being written down, therefore, from a memory that is 60, maybe even 70 years old. So think back to 1964. That's 60 years ago. And think back that there may be some events that you can remember in 64. Some of you probably were doing things in 1964 that block out all memories. But that's a long time ago. And so here's Lucas talking to this PR person from Palestine of 2,000 years ago. PR person. So, Lucas, understand what you want us to do. You want us to take the story, and you want us to help you tell the story in such a way that it spreads. Now, Lucas, let's be clear, you've done pretty good already. It's 60 years later, and there are churches all over the Roman Empire. So it's not as if you haven't done well, but maybe we can go further and go bigger with how we tell the story. And every story, Lucas, needs a villain. Every good story needs a villain. And listen, you've got a villain here. You've got the Roman Empire. You've got the Roman Empire, and you've got all the folks that collaborated with the Roman Empire. And the result is your man, Jesus, is arrested in the still of the night. Goes through a whole bunch of strange and weird trials that are all fake, gets beaten, and then they kill him. So you got a good villain. Got a good villain. Now we need some heroes. Because truth be told, wait, PR person, Lucas speaking, isn't Jesus, isn't God the hero? Yes, Lucas, but they're a little bit otherworldly, you know what I mean? Jesus, God. And maybe we need something more worldly, people that we can connect with that are someone like us, and we can use them to help tell the story. I mean, you've got Peter, James, John, Andrew. You've got some big hitters here. Let's see how we can help them in the story. Okay. So, tell me the story, Lucas. What happens? What happens? Well, as you know, Jesus is killed on the cross. And it was utterly unbelievable, disbelieving. The word that comes to mind for us is apisteo, my PR person over here. Disbelief. Cannot believe what is happening. And it is unbelievably scary. Because here it is. This person that the thought the world was going to change on is dead. And with every pound of a nail into that cross, he's dead, dead, dead. And we are afraid, afraid, afraid. And everybody runs away and goes to that upper room where we all hung out before on that last meal. We were there together and we locked the doors. Okay, Lucas, I get it. Afraid, unbelievable, not the best things that we want to talk about, but we can work with that, okay? So it all begins to pivot, right? There's a resurrection 3 days later. This is the big pivot. This is the big thing, right, Lucas? We've got darkness being overcome by light. We've got life over triumphing over death. We've got love over hate. This is the big thing, right, Lucas? So tell me about the resurrection. Okay. So here's the deal. What we understand is early at dawn, dawn, good. We like dawn. Dawn makes for a great story. Okay, dawn. Early at dawn, we've got the women. Mary, the one we call Mary the Tower. Mary, Jesus' mother. And one or two other women. And they, by the way, are the only ones that stay at the cross. The men all went to the room and locked themselves in. The women were there, and they stayed at the cross. They saw him take his last breath, but it was just before the Sabbath. We couldn't give a proper burial, and so those women wait a day, and they prepare the ointments that are needed for a proper burial, and they go to the tomb, and they get to the tomb early that Sunday morning, and the rock is rolled away. The rock. The rock is rolled away. Yes, the rock is rolled away and the tomb is empty, and they are apostello. They cannot believe what is going on. And they are enphobos. They are afraid of what is going on. And then all of a sudden, two angels come down, and their countenance is so bright that the women tell us it was as if they were looking at lightning. And the angels say to them, why are you looking for the dead amongst, why are you looking for the living? That's a good thing to correct there, Lucas. Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? Lucas, good story. A little woo-woo, angels, lightning, all that stuff, but good story, wrong people. I mean, seriously, Lucas, we want this story to go. And the world is not ready for women to be the heroes of our story. The world is not ready for that. So since it's 60 years ago, is there any chance that we could just change it and we have some of the men go to the tomb and there find the tomb empty? Because that are those are the heroes that we need in this world. Those are the people folks will follow. Is there any chance? No. Okay, fine. So what happens? So the women, they go back. They go back to the upper room. They knock on the door. They knock on the door. They knock on the door. Finally, they hear the door being unlocked. The men looking around. Okay, it's safe. It's the women. Come on in. They come on in. And the women say, the angel said, why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? Oh, this is good. This is good. So then maybe Peter, no, James, Jesus's brother. Maybe we have James at that point says, he was right. Remember, Jesus told us this was going to happen. Remember all those things he said, that on the third day he would rise again. He was right. Yes, that would be great, but it didn't happen. What do you mean? Didn't happen. Peter is so confused, he leaves. Goes to the tomb, we think. And then two of them say, we're out of here. We're going to Emmaus. We're going to the town down the road. We're going to go to Emmaus, and we're just done with all of this. Okay, so two go to Emmaus, right? Excuse me just a minute. Cough drop. Who go down to the road to Emmaus, right, Lucas? And they go down to the road to Emmaus, and they walk with Jesus, right? Isn't that the story that we've heard? Yes, that's the story you've heard. But they don't just walk with him. Forget it, Lucas. Don't tell me about all those other details. Who was there? Well, one of them was Cleopas. Who's Cleopas? Cleopas. Luke? Gus? There's no Cleopas. It's the only time we've ever heard that name. There's no Cleopas in the last 60 years. Cleopas doesn't exist for us. Cleopas hasn't done anything good for the cause. Who's Cleopas? He was there. Okay, fine. Who's the other person? We don't know. Peter, then. Let's make it Peter. Peter went to the tomb. Who cares? Peter. Let's make it Peter. We need Peter. We need a hero. We need something going on. Not Peter, but here's what happens. Walking down the road, Jesus appears to them. For hours, they're walking with Jesus. They don't know. It's apostello again, disbelief. It's now this word aporeo, utterly perplexed. It's enphobos that's going on. There's fear going on. There's all of this going on. They don't understand what's going on. And then they recognize that it's Jesus. Okay, let's make it Peter still. Fine. Let's make it Peter. And Peter runs back, and he doesn't take a couple of hours to understand. He understands completely, because now the first person that the risen one is talking to is the one that Jesus has said, upon this rock I shall build my church. There's great symmetry to all of this. We lift Peter up at this time. It's great. Yeah, but Peter was at the tomb. Lucas, you're not helping me. Okay, so Cleopas, who we don't know, this other person whose name we don't know, they come back. What happens? They come back, and a big event happens. The big event is the disciples, right? They now understand it. No, the big event is Jesus is there. Jesus is there. When you say Jesus is there, do you mean blood, sweat, and tears, Jesus? Or could we maybe just say, it's as if Jesus is there with them. It's as if he's there because, you know, Lucas, generations from now, Jesus is no longer here, apparently. So if he's not here, why is he there then? It's as if Jesus is with them. No, he is there. Not only is he there, we can see his wounds. We can see the blood that is still coagulating where the nails went in. We can see the wounds. We can touch the wounds. We touch the wounds. Lucas, think about your demographic. This is not a zombie story that we're telling, Lucas. We simply need a story about Jesus being present with them and saw the blood, the glory. Mm-mm. How about this, Lucas? One of the disciples, maybe Andrew, maybe John, big names we all know, since they can touch him, they wrap their arms around him, they fall to their knees and they go, my Lord, my Master. And Jesus says, blessed are you who have believed all this time. You are my beloved with whom I am well pleased. What if he says that? Sorry. He speaks. But he doesn't say any of those things. He says, do you have any food? I'm hungry. The first words out of the risen Christ to the gathered people, the first sentence he utters is, do you have any food? I'm hungry. Lucas, it's not going to sell really well. Sorry, that's what he says. And since half the folks that are there are fishermen, they give him broiled fish. Okay, great, broiled fish. Big image there, broiled fish. Can do a lot with broiled fish. And let me just guess, everyone sits around and starts sitting around the table having fellowship with one another, talking, laughing, and all of that, right? That's what happens. How about Peter lays down some big theological hits, tells everybody, wraps it all up together. Can we do that, Lucas? No. Peter doesn't do that. He will do that. You can't keep Peter shut up for very long. Within a month, he'll be doing that, but not on that day. Not on that day. On that day, it's just us gathered together. Lucas, this is hard. Hard to take the story. We've got apostasia, we've got aporeo, we've got enphobos, we've got fear, we've got perplexity, we've got disbelief for the people that we want to be lifting up, and only at the end do you start talking about there being chara, being joy. Lucas. And then Lucas looks at him. He says, you know, we were all fishermen at one time. And as fishermen, we were oftentimes on the Galilean Sea of Galilee. And there were many mornings on the Sea of Galilee in which it was encrusted, enshrouded in clouds. The fog rolls in. The fog so dense that you can't see but your hand in front of your eyes, and that's it. And it's enphobos. It's scary. It's fearful. Because you could navigate, you could run aground, you could do all sorts of things that would get you into trouble. That fog is so scary, and it is perplexing, aporeo, and it makes you wonder, believe, can you even believe in your skills? And then a miracle begins to happen as the sun begins to rise, the waters and the air begin to warm, and the cloud, the fog begins to dissipate. That's what it's like. For a moment, all of your senses are alive when that fog fog is so you hear things, you feel things, you taste things in ways you don't normally. But then as the sun begins to come up, things begin to clear, and that fear, that disbelief, that being perplexed just begins to give away just a little bit, the more that you can see in front of us. And as the sun rises more and things warm up, all of a sudden, that mist is gone. And that which caused us to be worried, afraid, is no longer there. And what's left is the clarity that comes when the sun rises and works upon the fog. It was just people like us. Just people like us in which the sun rises in the mist. The sun rose amidst us. And it took a while. But once the fog of fear and disbelief is cleared away, once the joy of that sun rising in our life became the dominant thing, we were changed, my PR friend. We were changed. And once changed, we never go back. That's the story. That's the story. It was scary, but it changed. And joy and love, the very rising of the sun in our lives happens. And we are forever changed. Okay. I get it. I'm not changing your story, Lucas. Stick with it. I hope that it is read for thousands of years to come and that people will know that indeed he is risen and we are forever changed. Amen.